How America became so divided.
From the populism and paranoia of the 1950s to the financial excesses of recent years, here are some of the reasons why America is so divided today.
Populism and paranoia. Donald Trump wasn't the first populist to dominate U.S. politics, or the first to use lies and paranoid scare tactics to create division and galvanize his supporters. That already happened in the 1950s with the Communist Inquisition, started by an infamous Republican senator, Joe McCarthy. McCarthy claimed, without any real evidence, that there were secret communists at the highest levels of American society, even inside the White House. Fueled in part by the case of an American couple convicted of passing nuclear secrets to the Soviets, his Committee on Un-American Activities became a witch hunt for traitors that ruined thousands of lives. Hollywood in particular was targeted, with many directors, actors, and writers being blacklisted. The Army, the CIA, and anyone who resisted him came under attack. Eventually, his own Republican colleagues ended his crusade by censoring him in the Senate. He died a broken man just a few years later. But around half the U.S. public were sympathetic to McCarthy's paranoid patriotism, creating a distrust between conservative and progressive America that remains today.
Civil rights and the South. If you look at a political map of America today, the South, meaning the states that broke away during the American Civil War, is Republican red, pure Trump country. This is strange because right up until the 1960s, the Republicans were reviled in the South as the party of Abraham Lincoln. Back then, the South was colored a constant Democrat blue. The civil rights laws of the 1960s changed everything. These were passed during the presidency of Lyndon B. Johnson, a Democrat from Texas. Ironically, Johnson had spent his whole career opposing civil rights, a necessary position if you wanted to succeed in Southern politics. But, arriving in the White House following the assassination of John F. Kennedy, Johnson could at last follow his conscience. He was the one, not Kennedy, who finally made American civil rights laws a reality. "We may have lost the South for a generation," he said at the time, knowing that the Democrats would pay a high price for backing Martin Luther King. And more than half a century later, they are still paying for it.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. In the early 1970s, sex, drugs, and rock and roll turned American society upside down. Women's liberation, hippie communes, free love, anti-war demonstrations, men dressing like women, and vice versa, a younger generation attacked the conservative world of post-war America head-on, and they won, for the most part. Because although social norms changed radically and permanently, part of American society still believes this was when the nation lost its moral compass. It's no coincidence that this was when evangelical religious movements started that dominate Republican politics today. The moral majority, as it then called itself, was a direct counter-reaction to 1970s ideas such as a woman's right to choose, individual self-expression, and the ending of male chauvinism. Today, for many conservative Americans, that opposition has calcified itself into a sense that, more than just being political actors, they are literally the representatives of God's will. And their opponents, by extension, are therefore agents of evil.
From 1980s excess to today's distress. The shocking economic inequalities of today's America could not exist without the 1980s. If the taboos concerning personal liberty had disappeared in the 1970s, now the rules and taboos moderating U.S. capitalism were dynamited. America's new Republican president, an ex-actor called Ronald Reagan, cut taxes on the rich and reduced regulations on both Wall Street and business on the basis that a booming economy was in everyone's favor. In fact, as many had warned, it was principally in the favor of a small minority. America's industrial heartlands were destroyed as companies moved their factories to Mexico and Asia, benefiting shareholders but destroying entire communities. Banking became a casino, producing ever greater speculative bubbles. All sense of decency and fairness about executive pay versus workers' pay disappeared. Ultimately, it led to the economic crash of 2008, when millions of Americans lost their homes while their taxes were used to save the banks responsible for the disaster. Nothing has changed since, except that the anger and anxiety everyone feels has led to ever more division and extremism.